Praise the Lord. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Oftentimes we get lost in these holidays and we kind of lose focus as to what it's all about. It's not about eggs. It's not about pastel colors. It's not about Easter bunnies. It's about the Lamb. It's about the Lamb. The Lamb of God that was slain on our behalf. Amen. Man, that excites me. That excites me. That someone would love us enough and care enough for us and not be satisfied. That is one thing that just speaks to me over and over and over throughout Scripture. And if we look through Scripture with the lens of love that God the Father is looking at us through, we see a message of love and hope weaved throughout all of the Scriptures. And He's not satisfied with allowing sin to remain between us and Him. Isn't that beautiful? He didn't leave it that way. He didn't leave it there. You know, our sin, the Bible says, makes us enemies with God. Do you know that? Our sin creates a distance between us and God. And it makes us enemies of God, the Bible says. I don't want to be an enemy of God. I don't want to be an enemy. He is my Father. We are His children. And He was not satisfied to leave it there. When sin took place in the Garden of Eden, the downfall of man, it forever created a chasm of sin that separated us from God. And yet God the Father, can we have these lights on up here? Was not content to leave things the way they are. You know what? You know why? Because along with that love that is woven throughout the Scriptures of the Bible, and so many different stories, and so many different examples of mercy, God desires to have relationship with us over and over and over. Amen. Had it not been, there's an old Southern gospel song, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, Amen. Had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Amen. Had it not been for that cross and the blood of Jesus Christ, then forever our souls would be lost and damned to hell. But out of His great love, out of His great love, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. That speaks of love. And in Romans it talks about that God demonstrated His love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. You see, He didn't wait for us to come to Him all cleaned up and spiffied up and shiny and washed up with our Sunday best. He died for us while we were yet sinners, the Bible says. That is sacrificial love. That's agape love. That's unconditional love. A love that says, you are a sinner, yes, but I still love you. Our minds and our guilt would say, and the enemy would convince us that your guilt is too great for God to forgive. You're too dirty. You're too filthy. God could never want you back. God would never want to call you his son or his daughter. That is a lie. Amen. Straight from the pit of hell. Amen. Jesus Christ died that our sins could be washed away, that we could once again be pure as the driven snow because of the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The blood of Jesus on a hill called Mount Calvary. Golgotha, the place of the skull. You saw pictures of it recently when I was showing some pictures of Israel when I had gone there. And near that place was a garden, the Bible says in John, and in it was a tomb that had never been used before, the place where Jesus was laid. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took our sin. And sin is disobedience to God. Very simply, okay? Sin is disobedience to God. When we sin against God, we disobey him. We disobey his laws. And we are guilty of sin. And that makes us enemies of God. In Romans, it says that the wages of sin is what? Is death. We deserve punishment when we sin because we are breaking the laws of God. And we've used this analogy before. Many of you just, you know, you can say, well, what if I committed a sin that I didn't know about? Okay? And that's a legitimate concern. That's a legitimate question. Okay? But let me ask you this. If you were driving through Medina today and going 55 miles an hour, and then you got pulled over by one of our police officers, and he says, Mister, do you know how fast you were going? He said, yeah, well, I was going 55. Do you know what the speed limit is? It's not 55? No, sir. It's 30. Okay? 30 miles an hour. Oh, well, I didn't know. So I'm not guilty, right? No. You are still guilty. You are still guilty because it's the law. And it's our responsibility to know the law. Correct? All right. So even though we didn't know, we are still guilty. All right. And it is the same with the Word of God. We are still guilty, even though we may have been unaware. But we still sin because we're disobeying the laws of God. But for the grace, but for the blood of Jesus Christ, the Savior. The Bible says God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but what? But to save the world through him. Through him. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We don't just default. I was having this conversation yesterday with someone. We don't just default to heaven when we die. We can't just live our lives any way we want to. Van Halen used to sing a song, Running with the Devil. Anybody remember that song? Okay. You're afraid to raise your hand, ain't you? You're busted. Running with the devil. We can't just run with the devil all of our lives. And then when we breathe our last breath, expect for God to receive us as his own. Because you know what you're going to hear? All of us will stand before the judgment seat of God, the Bible says, and give an account of every careless word that we have spoken. So when we stand before the judgment seat of God, we're going to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. And we're going to say, well, wait a minute. And we're going to try to prove ourselves to the God Almighty of the universe. And we can say things like, you know what, God? I went to church sometimes. I did good things. I was a good person. I was nice. And we're going to try to build our case before the Holy One. But the Bible says that all of our righteous acts are as filthy rags. They're as filthy rags. So the best that we could hope to offer, the best that we could hope to convince God that we are worthy of going to heaven to be where he is, just the bottom falls right out of it. Because we are not worthy. And because of that very thing, Jesus Christ went to the cross. He went to the cross. And the Bible says that while he was in the tomb, he went to hell and he preached to those that had died before. Do you realize that? Isn't that, have you ever thought about that? He preached to the souls that had gone on before he came. So they all had the chance to receive Jesus. Wow. Wow. And when he was laid in the tomb, the devil thought he had it all wrapped up, didn't he? And the chief priests and the teachers of the law thought that they had taken care of this problem once and for all. Put him in the tomb. You seal that baby and you put some guards around there making sure nobody gets in there or out for that matter. Make sure nobody comes and steals that body because his death could be more dangerous than his life. If he were to rise again, as he said. And 3 days later, 3 days later, 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. Thus sealing our salvation, thus conquering sin, conquering death. Hallelujah. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. Our sin was forever covered by the blood of Jesus. And the Bible says, to them that received him, to those who believed on his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Do you see how different the word of God is in the relational part of that? If you leave the relational part of the word of God out of things, then church is just a bunch of laws and rules and words. And there's nothing, no meat behind it. There's no relationship. But when you put the fatherly heart into all of these words, you understand God's love for you and his desire to have you close to him. And the word of God comes alive in your life. Religion can be cold and damp and methodical. But when you add the warmth of the relationship with God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, it just becomes a river. It becomes a river of life. Life abundant. A life full of adventure. I see and I hear people, and they're just always, woe is me. Woe is me. I'm down. I'm depressed. Help me, somebody. And I'm thinking, you're missing something, friend. You're missing out on the joy. That's not the life God wants for you. That's not the way he wants his children to be. That's not the life he wants for us. No. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Not whispers. He declares it. I know the plans that I have for my kids. Plans to prosper you. Not to harm you. Don't worry. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's God's Father's heart towards you, his children. Today, we are not meant to live a life that is full of sorrows. We are not meant to live a life that is full of defeat. No, we are more than conquerors, the Bible says, through Christ our Lord. Not by our own strength, but by Christ the Lord Jesus, in whom we have victory. Not only one victory, but we go, the Bible says, from victory to what? Victory. Victory to victory. The Bible says, if God is for us, who, tell me, can be against us? Who can be against us? Wow. Hallelujah. Friends, our families, our loved ones, our coworkers, our fellow students, and you keep filling in that blank. They need to hear the Word of God. We showed a video this morning showing the importance of the invite, the invitation to come. Friends, I want you to look around you. I want you to look at the empty red seats. Will you do that for me? Just look around and see the empty seats. Now, we're missing a ton of kids that go out, but sometimes we'll hear a squeal from time to time, and we just let them know, let us know that they're still back there. I love it. I love it. These empty seats are potential people that need to hear the Word of God, that need to have the experience of God in their life, the truth in their life, not religion, not the truth of Alabama Full Gospel Fellowship, not the truth of Pastor Russ Peters, no, but the truth of God's Word. They need to hear the Word. And the Bible says in John, and you will know the truth, and what? The truth will set you free. Alabama Full Gospel can't set you free. Church can't set you free. Russ Peters can't set you free. But Jesus Christ can set you free. Amen. Jesus Christ can set you free. And He can set your friends free. And He can speak into their lives. But how can they hear unless someone tells them? How will they come unless someone invites them? We really do have a responsibility, friends. We have a responsibility to take the love of Christ. The things that we experience in here, we have to take that to people. Okay? We have to get the message of the Word of God. We have to take the truth of God's Word and speak it to people in love. Okay? We have to give them that opportunity. We've got to throw that life, what do you call them things? Huh? Life vests, what's the round things? Life preservers. That's still not it. Come on, help me out. Life rings. You get the idea. Anyways, we are taking that thing and we're throwing it to our friends and our family who are being taken away in a flood of disbelief and the lies. Do you know the enemy is called, Satan is called the father of lies. Do you know that? That's what the Word calls him. The father of lies. The Bible says that he can disguise himself as an angel of light. Okay? And he can look like somebody that believes or sound like a message of belief and truth when all the while there is just a little bit of truth interwoven with a bunch of lies that are deceitful and meant to steal us away. The enemy comes but to do what? Let me hear you. To kill, to steal, and destroy. That's all he wants of you. He has no good intentions for you. How many of you know that sin is fun? For a time. Yeah? Sin will catch up to you. Okay? Sin will catch up to you. The enemy has no good intentions for you. All he wants to do is use you, chew you up, and spit you out. If we are not hearing the Word of God and truth, if we are not taking it in, if we are not putting ourselves in a place where we can take in the Word of God, I commend all of you. I'm very proud of you that you have made the decision to be here today. Sometimes, how many of you know, it's not easy to get here, especially when you have kids, okay? Sometimes when you're making that decision, I'm going to be here on Sunday mornings, when you're beginning to make those decisions, seems like everything breaking down. The water lines are breaking. Cars breaking down. Kids are sick. Right? And all these things are coming against you because the enemy knows that once you get into the Word of God, it begins to transform you. And there begins to grow this hunger, this passion for God. And to know Him more. Not to know religion, but to know the God of the Bible. Amen. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The Bible says to draw near to God. And He will what? Draw near to you. God wants to be near to you. Do you know that? He loves you. He loves you. He wants to take the sin that has wrapped itself around you. Will you turn with me to Hebrews? I think it's chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. One through three. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, talking about who? The faith hall of famers, if you will, right? Abraham and Moses and Isaiah and all them people, the faith hall of famers, okay? Since we are surrounded by these people, let us throw off everything that hinders. And listen, I love the way that the writer puts this. And the sin that so easily entangles us. Okay? Now listen. And the rest of the picture is painted by this next phrase. It says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So it's as if there's a runner in a race and something is tangling around his feet. And what happens when something tangles around your feet? You're going to fall. You're going to trip. You're going to get hurt. Okay? You're going to be taken out of the race potentially, right? And so the writer is saying, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, these faith hall of famers, people that have gone on before us and were strong in their faith and against great odds, did many great things for God. And he says, because of this, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance, right? Perseverance. Let's not get tired. Okay? Let's keep going. It's not easy. It takes a lot of effort, but don't get tired. Keep running that race. The race that is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes, verse 2, on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you know what the right hand means when it's represented in the Bible? A place of power, of strength, a place of authority. That's what that means. When he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you, as you're running your race, will not grow weary and lose heart. Keep running your race, friends. Keep running your race with perseverance. Let us fix our eyes. I love that scripture. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Boy, that's a great scripture to memorize so that you can pull it out in times of distress. How many of you know there will be times of distress and anxiety and maybe even fear? But the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with thanksgiving, right? With prayer and petition, make your needs made known to God. We don't need to worry. We don't need to fear. Jobs will come and go. There will be sickness. There will be health problems. But our hope is ever in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's our hope. That's our foundation. And I was talking to this person yesterday and just telling them that, you know, what have you built your life upon? What has your life been built on? What's the stronghold in your life? And, you know, often people don't know how to answer that. And in many cases, it's built upon themselves because it's built upon either their ability to work or their knowledge and to be able to, you know, get things done or things like this. Or maybe it's built upon their ability to make money or this or that. Maybe their foundation is their mate, okay? And then when and if, God forbid, their mate leaves them or their relationship is broken, their marriage is broken, where does that leave them? They have nothing else to hold on to. And I began to tell them about the story that Jesus told in the Bible about the man that built his house upon the sand. Now, normally, I would love to have my toes in the sand. Yeah? Okay? But this guy, the way that this picture is painted is not like a vacation. All right? So this guy, he built his house upon the sand. Seems like a good thing to do. Why not? But when the storms came, and the wind kicked up the waves, and it blew and it crashed against that house, and the Bible says it fell with a mighty crash. But the man, he says, that built his house upon the rock, his house stood. When those same storms came, the winds came and the rains came, and it kicked up the waves and the floods came in, and they all battered against this house. But this house stood. Why? Why did this house stand when the other one crumbled? Because it was built upon the rock. Jesus is the rock. What is your life built upon today? And I think those are questions that we need to ask people. What is your life built upon today? That if storms came in your life, what is the thing that you're holding on to? Because religion is not going to help you. Church is not going to help you. The cross, the foundation of Jesus Christ is the thing that you've got to build your life upon. Those things can be found in the church, right? But it is not the church. It's not a building that's going to help you, okay? The foundation of Jesus Christ and Christ alone. In Christ alone, I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, may it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. Is Christ alone. I get excited when I see people coming to Jesus. I get excited when I have the opportunity to preach the Word of God. I get excited. Why? I get excited because of the transformation that happens in people's lives. For the victories that happen in people's lives that put their trust in Jesus Christ. There are things that you may have encountered in your lives. Different things, addictions, whatever the case may be it drugs, be it pornography, be it smoking, be it this, be it that, or whatever. All things that you have not mastered have mastered you. You are a slave to them. Do you understand? Maybe it's food. Okay? Maybe it's something else. You can fill in the blanks because there's many things that you can be addicted to and that can master you, that you become slaves to. But with the power of the Word of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, in the name of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be free. You can be free. And he whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's exciting news, folks. That's exciting news. And the very things that we're hearing, our friends, our family members, our coworkers, our fellow students, they need to hear this stuff. God asked, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Do you remember that? Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? I want that to be me. And he's asking us in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them what? To obey everything that I have commanded you. And he comforts us with these last words, and he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Friends, this Easter season, may it be a reminder of the responsibilities that we have as believers to take the Word of God to people. One way that you can do that is to invite them to church. Invite them to come to a place where they can hear the Word of God. And the PACT churches, and some of you are not familiar with PACT if we have new people here, but PACT just stands for Pastors Aligned for Community Transformation, and it's a bunch of churches, and the pastors gather together, and we love each other, and we work together to promote Jesus Christ. And our mission statement goes something like this, that every man, woman, and child would have repeated opportunities to hear and receive the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's our desire and it's our responsibility as believers. It's not just the pastor's responsibility. It's not just the church's responsibility. These red chairs that you see that are empty, we have an opportunity to invite other people to come to hear the Word of God. You don't know where people are at in their lives. Do you know that seven people, am I correct? Seven people died in a 24-hour period, not half an hour, 40 minutes away in Buffalo because of drugs. Just the other day. Do you know that? That is unreal. It's unreal. Somebody died just the other day in Albion, 20, 21 years old, drug overdose. It's all around us. People need to know Jesus. People need to know that there is a way that they can be free from the chains that bind them. Amen. People need to know and to understand that programs that are out there are only going to take them so far. It's the blood of Jesus that sets people free. Only the blood of Jesus has the power to break that sin, to break the chains of that when nothing else can break it. The power of the name of Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lamb. Do you know people that need that freedom, that need to have those chains broken in their lives? Maybe they have had experienced difficult things within their lives, things that have just hurt them so deeply. Maybe a relationship, maybe there's been some abuse or whatever the case may be, and all they can think about is they go from one relationship to another, and there's more and more abuse, and there's more and more pain, and they just can't seem to get above it. They can't seem to get around it. Everywhere they go, the same thing happens over and over. They need the blood of Jesus to be freed. Jesus has the power to do that. Do you know someone that needs that? go into all the world. Go into Orleans County. Go into Genesee, Niagara, Monroe counties, and make disciples of the people that you have influence over. The people that your words are big in their ears. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your words are big in their ears. By that I mean this. They listen to you. They listen to what you say. Okay? Your words are big in their ears. Okay? Reach out to those people. They may say no. There's going to be some. Guarantee it. But there will be some that say yes. And then one by one, each of these red seats has a hind end in it. Has a soul in it. Yeah? Okay? I hope I didn't offend you. It's important that we bring people. Why? So that we can fill up our sanctuary and say that we've got so many people coming here? Nope. So that we can look good, so that we can... No, it's not about that at all. It's about souls coming to the Savior. Souls coming to the Savior. And you, church, play a huge role in that. Who can you invite to come to church so that they can meet Jesus? You might be saving somebody's life. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to do something this morning. We're going to ask for the Lord to help us to obey what he has told us to do. All right? Now, when Jesus was talking to us in Matthew 28, he didn't just suggest that we go into all the world. No, he didn't say, now, if you feel like it's a good idea, if you've got the energy, if you're a good speaker, go and make disciples of people. He didn't say that. He said, go. It's a command. It's not a request. Go into all the world, wherever you can, and make disciples of people, teaching them to obey everything that God has commanded us. Amen. It's not a request. It's a commandment from the Heavenly Father, the Almighty. Yeah? Would you just lift your hands up today? Just lift your hands up to the Father. Heavenly Father, we recognize, Lord, our inability to do what is necessary to obey you. And so, Heavenly Father, we need your help. But Lord, you did not leave us alone. You sent the Comforter, an advocate, as your word says. You sent us the Holy Spirit himself to help us to obey, to give us power. And so, Father, we're calling upon you today. We need your strength, oh God. We need your help to do what we must do, to do what you have commanded us to do. Help us, oh God, to live for you. Help us to walk in obedience. Help us, Heavenly Father, to fulfill your will in our lives. We pray in this Easter season that you would help us, oh God, to speak the truth of God in love, the truth of your word, Heavenly Father. Give us a boldness and a quiet confidence, Lord, as we speak to other people. Not accusive or abusive, but with love and mercy. Because love breaks down defenses. And not because we loved you, God, but because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I love you all. God bless you. I'll see you next week.